This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. As I was walking in, they gave me a wad of these little serviettes, and I wondered what it was for. The minute I stepped in, I knew what it was for. May Allah bless you for enduring the temporary marquee that has been put up here. You may or may not know that this venue, there was a fire that actually raged and ravaged through the venue that's next to us. And we've used it so many times in the past. But alhamdulillah, we managed to gather here. And the reward is indeed written. But let's make sure that we have not wasted the endurance of the heat here. What that means is, take from here something. Change your life, even if it means a millimeter or a centimeter or more, inshallah. This evening, I will speak on the theme of this summer conference, and that is the path to repentance. You and I know that Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam and told him, don't eat from the tree. Agreed? Him and his wife, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't eat from this tree. That's it. So in that place where they were made, and there is a big discussion as to where exactly it was it the Jannah that we are going to go back to, or was it a different Jannah? The more correct opinion is it was a different garden that is called Jannatul Ibtila. It was a garden wherein which Allah wanted to test Adam and Hawa. And he knew that he is going to prohibit one thing, and he knew what was going to happen, but the broader purpose was that Allah Almighty send man to earth in order to test them, similarly knowing that the best from amongst us will be the one who repents immediately. So therefore, Adam alayhi salam, having spoken with Allah, created by Allah, exactly as he was, in the sense that he wasn't a baby who was born. No, he was created already an adult. Adam alayhi salam was created already an adult. And Allah says, we taught him all the nouns and the names and everything he needed to know to communicate. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. We taught Adam the names of everything. This is a tree, this is a stone, this is this, and this is water, and everything he already knew. He came into creation. There was only one thing that was prohibited. One. What was that? The tree. Don't go close to this tree. Don't eat from it. And guess what happened? That's exactly what he did. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You thought of it? One thing, just one thing not allowed, and that's exactly what he did. He did not defy Allah because he knew. He had spoken to Allah. He knew Allah better than you and I, you and I. But Shaytan continued with him and worked on him and continued to whisper. And he did it prolonged. And he touched on certain things that he knew Adam alayhi salam is going to perhaps pay more attention to this type of whisper. What was it? هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. You might have heard these verses many times. He says, can I show you a tree? Shajarat al-khuld. Al-khuld meaning you are going to live forever and ever. If you eat from this, there is nothing known as death that will ever overtake you. Who even discussed death prior to that? Who discussed death prior to that? And here is Shaytan coming to tell you something that, you know what, if you don't eat from this, you would die. That's what it means. So if you eat from this, you will not die. And mulkin la yabla, you will have kingdom, ownership of that which will never finish. And he tried to convince him that that's the reason why Allah told you not to eat. And here is Adam alayhi salam. Like I said, he knows Allah better than you and I. Allah spoke to him, Allah told him. And now he fell. How did he fall? He decided, well, let's have some of this tree. Question I have, who ate first? Was it Adam or Hawa? Who ate first? Say it again. Say it loudly. Please, can you say it loudly? You see, the men are saying Hawa and the women are saying Adam. That's a debate that happens from the very beginning. We blame each other. In actual fact, the Quran does not mention who ate first. It says they both ate. They were both guilty. فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Allah speaks referring to both of them. And that's the beauty of the Arabic language. You actually have a pronoun that refers to two. I don't know another language that has that type of system. It's either singular, plural. They have single, double, plural. Single, double, plural. فَأَكَلَا. You already know there were two of them, both involved. So that goes to show, don't waste your time blaming someone for who did the sin and who encouraged the sin and where it came from. When we sit and play the blame game, we are not going to turn back to Allah. We continue blaming others for a sin that we were involved in, whether they encouraged or didn't. You did it. So just turn to Allah. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. And Allah will forgive you. One of the plots of shaitan is to involve you in something futile, and that is who did it first and whose fault was it actually. I says, fault or no fault, someone encouraged you. The guy who encouraged you can turn back on the day of judgment and can tell you, do you know what, it wasn't me. Allah says that in the Quran. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ. Allah says, shaitan says, what does shaitan say? لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. He says, Allah promised you a true promise. I promised you a false promise. You came to my false promise and you forgot the true promise of Allah. He says, Allah called you towards something. I called you towards something. You obeyed me. You did not obey Allah. Don't blame me. Blame yourselves. All I did was I just called you. I said, hey, why don't you guys do this? Do you know what? So. Well, no matter what, I called you and you did it. So from that verse, we learn that shaitan will definitely excuse himself from the fact that you did the crime. And this is why I tell the young boys and girls, you know, when you have groups of people and they tell you, why don't you punch up this guy? Why don't you do this? If it is something bad, trust me, why didn't he do it? Why is he telling you to do it? Because he knows he's too sharp. He's intelligent. He knows that I'm going to sit back and blame. Blame who? Blame this person. And that's why Allah Almighty wants you to take heed. Don't just listen to someone and do things when you know they're bad. You might be young. You might even be slightly older. Some of us, our temperaments are different. You have a group of friends and they know this person's hot-blooded. So when you want something nasty to be done, tell them. They will do it. We won't do it. Some people are hot-blooded. You need to fight back for something. They tell you, come on, you stand up. And then you stand up and you look like the fool. And guess what happens? When you are nailed and when you are going to be punished because of what you did, they all go back and say, we're making dua for you. We're making dua for you from the corner. And you're sitting in prison. Allahu Akbar. This is why be careful. Even in your circles, don't let shaitan come and deceive you through your own friends. Here Shaitan deceived Adam and Hawa, may peace be on them, by lying to them that this is what's going to happen. You guys are going to achieve a lot. As soon as they ate, they realized, because their lives changed. And this is why when you transgress against Allah, your life changes. If you sin against Allah, quickly come back. Quickly return to Allah. Because if you don't, you will find your life changing slowly but surely in a way that Allah may reject you and turn you away completely because you were no longer interested in coming closer to Allah. Allah says, we guide. But whom do we guide? We guide those who are interested in guidance. Those who are striving towards looking for the guidance, we'll show it to them. You ask Allah for guidance every day. You know, when I meet people belonging to, say, for example, a Christian faith, and they tell me, can you tell us about Islam? We talk about Islam a little bit, or they might ask a question or two. And then they say, anything you'd like to say? I say, yes, there's one thing I want to say. They believe in Jesus, don't they? We believe in Jesus, but our belief is that Jesus was the most noble of prophets, the top five, from among the top five most noble of prophets of Allah. That's what we believe. And the best thing, and this is what I say, is for you to constantly pray, O my Maker, guide me to the purest teachings of Jesus. O my Maker, guide me to the purest teachings of Jesus. May peace be on him. O my Maker, guide me to the purest teachings of Moses. May peace be on him. If you are sincere in that, Allah will guide you. You will be guided. The same applies to all of us who are Muslim. You constantly pray to Allah to guide you. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is the third day in a row that somehow that verse has come up in a speech. Guide us to the straight path is the dua that you've repeated the most in your life. And I have too. And we all have. And on the globe too. There is no other supplication that has ever been repeated more than Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. By virtue of it being compulsory in every unit of prayer. And by virtue of the billions of Muslims praying five times a day by the will of Allah. If you're not praying five, today's the day. You promise Allah, I'm going to pray five from today. Is that a promise? I know it's a bit hot, but is that a promise? If you don't promise, I want to tell you something about the heat that you might not like to hear. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ Oh, you understood that verse? You know, when I studied in Medina, sometimes the air condition didn't used to work. And we used to come into the lecture hall, 45 degrees. This is still calm. This is still calm. And you know what the lecturers used to tell us to calm us down? قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا I mean, they used to tell us, you know, the heat of the flame of Jahannam is worse than this in terms of heat. And we would look and say, that's just an excuse because your aircon's not working. He says, no, you are seated here. It was planned by Allah in the sense that I didn't know that it was going to be such a hot place today. You know, the term hot can be used positive and negative. But even when it is used in what the world thinks is positive, it is negative. Have you ever thought of it? Only the youngsters can smile at that one. You say, ooh, you're hot. What does it mean? It means I can already feel the fire of Jahannam coming this way here because I'm not supposed to be looking in the first place. Agreed? That's what I mean. So as much as it might be a compliment, but if that's the compliment, chances are it's the wrong compliment to the wrong person. May Allah Almighty forgive us. So, Adam alayhi salam immediately sought the forgiveness of Allah with his wife. Because his life changed, things started changing, he regretted instantly. My brothers, my sisters, my beloved children, we are human. We are the children of the same Adam. Our genes are from then. We have the DNA of Adam alayhi salam in us. And I tell you, if ever you have faltered and you will falter, number one, make sure you have not faltered out of defiance of Allah, because that will take you out of the fold of belief. Allah says, this is haram. And you come up and you say, so what? Oh, that's a dangerous statement. A'udhu billah. That is very dangerous. Allah says, this is not allowed. Or Allah says, this is compulsory. Don't say, no, it's not. I mean, 5 daily prayers. If you haven't fulfilled a prayer because of some error, because of some mistake, and you believe firmly you were supposed to, we could still call you a believer according to the majority of fuqaha. We still call you a believer because you believe that 5 daily prayers, I missed one, but you know what? I was wrong. Okay. Let me not even give you the example of prayer. I give you another example. The example of fasting in Ramadan. You're supposed to fast. If you have eaten out of error, Allah Almighty tells us through the blessed lips of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we won't even consider that as having been eaten. It was just a bonus from us. There is a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. What a beautiful narration. Whoever is fasting and they've forgotten and they happen to eat or drink, then they should complete the fast. Stop as soon as you remember, because Allah quenched your thirst and fed you. That was just a bonus. Subhanallah. I remember once when we were young, my mom used to send all of us to school. And the first day of Ramadan, she sent us all to school. And then she would always normally sit and make herself a cup of tea and a bit of breakfast and so on. They forgot, they're forgiven, isn't it? So, mashallah, mashallah. So, we all went to school and she made herself breakfast and she ate it and everything happened. She packed up as usual and so on. When we came back from school, she said, oh, there's no lunch today, but I just had breakfast. And that was the first time in my life I ever knew the ruling of it. And I used to say, ah, you know, I was a kid. That's so unfair. I wish I forget too sometimes. But I can't remember really having forgotten. Fasting. Imagine, you, those who think, I wish I forget one day, have a nice munch, you know, subhanallah. They are the ones who don't forget. Right? It happens by default. Nonetheless, Adam alayhi salam did something that Allah had told him not to do. You and I will also do things in our lives that Allah told us not to do. Never ever do things out of defiance. Hold yourself back for the sake of Allah. Continue to tell yourself, oh Allah, grant me sufficiency in halal so that I don't engage in haram, so that Allah saves you. Look at Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was steadfast and straight. He was a prophet of Allah, protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to say, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika waghnini bifadlika amman siwak. Oh Allah, grant me sufficiency in halal so that it protects me from haram. And grant me sustenance from you so that I don't rely on anyone but you. Continuing to make that dua, it means you don't want the pathway to haram to be an easy one. You want Allah to put obstacles in it. So you're planning haram and somehow you had to meet someone, say for example a date, and suddenly you were involved in a car accident, a minor one. Thank Allah. Don't get angry. That's Allah telling you don't go. Or you had a puncture, or someone arrives at home just at a time when someone else was supposed to arrive at the same home. See? And Allah blocked it. Thank Allah. Oh Allah, I thank you for blocking it from me, because I was planning to do something that was displeasing to you. And here you are, out of your love for me, creating a barrier between me and haram. Creating a barrier. Isn't it a favor of Allah that Allah creates a barrier between you and haram? So be strong and thank Allah. That was Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like I said, if you do end up falling after that, it's not because you defy Allah. It's because of your human weakness and human nature. human nature, all of us. When we commit sins, we don't commit sins because we're defying our Maker. That would be kufr. But we commit sins because we are weak. We are human beings. And Shaitan is so excited. So now, Shaitan's plan is always very carefully laid out. And he knows, I'm going to keep trying with you, keep trying with you, keep trying with you until I nail you. When I get you where I want you, then I'm going to change my strategy, because now you did what he wanted. Now what's the next strategy? You're a believer. By default, a true believer is one who regrets his sin almost instantly. If you're a believer, as soon as you committed the sin, you start telling yourself, I didn't need to do this. I shouldn't have done this. This wasn't a good thing. That's belief. Thank Allah that Allah made you think for a moment that you didn't need to do this. It's from Allah. Regret. To regret your sin is one of the first steps towards tawbah and repentance. Regret your sin. Hey, I shouldn't have done this. What did I achieve by it? Nothing. Where am I heading through all of this? Nowhere. Why do I constantly miss my fajr? What about the others? Today we are a few thousand perhaps in this hall. I tell you, from amongst us, there are those who fulfill their fajr correctly and there are those who probably don't. So imagine if I weren't. And I see so many people fulfilling their salah and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I should feel for a moment that, you know what, Allah's accepted them. Oh Allah, strengthen me, grant me acceptance. Oh Allah, love me so that I do what pleases you. That's a sign of the love of Allah. When Allah opens and makes easy for you the doors of obedience and the doors of fulfillment of what is an obligation from Him to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it difficult for you to sin and easy for you to hold back from sin, that's a sign of the love of Allah for you. So constantly ask Allah to love you. When you've fallen, first things first, regret. That regret should immediately lead you to say, Astaghfirullah. And you know what has happened with Astaghfirullah? The same thing that happened with Inshallah. You know what that means? You tell a brother, brother, will you come? He says, Inshallah. That means no. I promise you, nowadays you tell people things. That, are you sure you're going to give this to me? He says, Inshallah. The way he says that, Inshallah, already tells you his intention in most cases. If the brother, no, Inshallah, I'm going to be there. Now he's probably telling you with a little bit more genuineness. You can hear it in his tone. But when a brother says, Inshallah, those Inshallahs with a little wink of one eye and a slight smirk on the face, it means no chance, my brother. Not at all. You know, if the guy's driving a Porsche, well, nowadays a Porsche is no longer a big deal. But anyway, the guy's driving a fancy car and you say, can I have a spin? He says, Inshallah. That means no way, my bro. Not a chance, man. Not a chance. We do the same thing with Astaghfirullah, because sometimes we say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. You don't even know what you're saying. And you're repeating it simply because you heard I should be saying Astaghfirullah after my salah thrice, after the farad. It's a sunnah to say Astaghfirullah. You must and you should. What I'm telling you to do is concentrate on the words. What are you saying? And you need to be genuine about it. Oh Allah, forgive me. That's what I'm saying. Oh Allah, forgive me. Don't just say Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek forgiveness with Astaghfirullah 70 to 100 times a day. Wallahi, you and I are supposed to be repeating it through the day, but repeat it with concentration. If you don't have the concentration, it's of no value. Imagine I'm just walking, astaghfirullah. You know, you get this counter, right? Have you ever come across these people who have this counter and they're talking to you and they're still counting? What are you counting, brother? I told one of the brothers, he says, Salaamu Alaikum, how are you? You know, and he's doing this with a counter. And he's saying, I say, I'm okay. What's happening? Are you doing your dhikr? Yes, I'm doing my dhikr, my brother. But you're counting. He says, yes, I'm counting. What are you counting? The beads. He's counting the beads. I was about to tell, and this is a true story. I was about to tell one of the brothers that, you know what you're doing? You're just like greasing it, making it a bit quicker to go. You know, like it's becoming a bit used. When it's new, maybe you might just struggle a little bit to push it. So he's just, and you're talking. That is lip service to the istighfar. You want to do istighfar, say it astaghfirullah. Any one of those could be your paradise. Any one of those can be your jannah. You see? So go serious in this regard. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Oh Allah, forgive me. And you know what? Adam alayhi salam and his wife, Hawa, may peace be upon them. Do you know what she said? In fact, they, both of them. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, we've wronged ourselves. Oh, that is the most powerful thing to say. To say, إِلَهَ الْعَالَمِينَ. What I just did now, I wronged myself. Why do you say I wronged myself? Because your sin is not going to decrease the value of Allah. Oh Allah, I wronged myself. I'm the one who's wrong. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you are not going to forgive us and have mercy on us, we are the ones who are definitely going to be the losers. You lose nothing, you gain nothing. Allah doesn't gain from your worship, nor does He lose from your sin. It is you who gains and you who loses. There. So surely, isn't it the best thing to turn back to Allah? Seek Allah's forgiveness. Ask Him immediately. Now Shaitan is still watching. He's lurking. He's very upset. Why is he upset? He was happy he nailed you. But now he's angry because you're a believer and your belief is making you regret. Why regret? Why regret? And this is why, my brothers, he tries to make you do it again and again and again. Because each time you repeat a sin, you are normalizing it within yourself to the degree that there will come a time when your regret is depleted and it sometimes becomes non-existent. First time you committed a major sin, oh, you regretted it. Second, third, if you fall in the trap of the devil and he makes you repeat it 20, 30 times, by the time you get to the 30th, you're looking forward to committing the sin rather than regret. You just committed it now and you're planning to do it again next week or the next day. And that's where we have reminders like this that come in to say, you know what? Cut that cycle. Let's change it. Turn to Allah. You don't know how long you're going to live for. We all have to return to Allah. It's something people don't like to hear, but it's the only reality that is proven. Every one of us is going to die. That is the truest statement you can ever hear. And where are we going to go? Back to wherever we came from. And where did we come from? The Maker, our Maker, Allah. And so where are we going to go back? To Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We all belong to Allah. We came from Him. And we're all going to go back to Allah. So turn to Allah. Shaitan is now upset because your regret. He's so angry. And as you seek forgiveness, he comes back to you. He says, oh, well done. That was so good. But you know what? You committed such a big sin. Such a big sin. You can't just be forgiven so easily. That's Shaitan's plan again. That's Shaitan's plan again. You committed such a big sin, you can't just be forgiven so easily. You think you, after you committed zina, you can just say, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Oh Allah, I regret it. I don't want to do it again. Help me. Oh Allah, I won't do it again. Forgive me. Shaitan tells you, you really think you committed such a big thing? You think just by that much you're going to be forgiven? That question alone is enough to destroy you again. What happens? You lose hope in the mercy of Allah, which is worse than the first sin you committed. Because one of the names and qualities of Allah, in fact, many names and qualities of Allah are connected to mercy. He is most loving, most kind, most forgiving, oft forgiving, and so many other names where Allah says, don't ever lose hope in my mercy. That's what he says in the Quran. So the mercy of Allah, he is Arham Ar-Rahimin. You know what that means? He is the most merciful of all those with mercy. Amazing. Amazing. Arham Ar-Rahimin. The most merciful from all those who have mercy. Allah. And you're doubting him? That's from Shaitan. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. What are you doing? Losing hope in the mercy of Allah. So you're going against a verse of the Quran. And what is that? That's dangerous. Allah says He will forgive. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. So when you seek forgiveness, Shaitan comes back and makes you think for a moment that, you know what? You're not forgiven. If you listen to his whispers, you're going to fall back again and again and again. And then what happens? Now you're far from Allah. Because why? You start believing, I'm too dirty, I'm too unclean, I've committed too many sins, I'm not going to be achieving the forgiveness of Allah, I'm lost, I'm already gone into Jahannam. Now, there's nothing left for me besides to continue this life of distance from Allah. Then you've fallen into the trap of shaitan. Come back, my brother. Come back, my sister. Don't think that way. Go back to the mercy of Allah. Recognize your maker. Learn about Allah, his names, his qualities. Learn about who is Allah. Learn about the forgiveness. Learn about the others in the past, like the story of Adam alayhi salam. The lessons we learn from this are tremendous. They are powerful. And tell yourself, I have a Lord who is merciful. That statement should not be said in order to push you to commit the sin again. Because you do have shaitan coming to us and telling us now, reverse. What's the reverse? Same shaitan will come to you and he will say, do you know Allah is merciful? I say, yeah. You know he's the most merciful? I say, yeah. You know he is the most merciful of those who can have mercy? Yeah. Look at how all these statements are correct, right? So now if you commit a sin, surely he's going to forgive you. Go for it, man. Oh, now we found where his trap is again. He's making us so hopeful in his mercy that he's prodding us to sin with the hope that I'm going to sin because I know Allah is forgiving. Allahul Musta'an. You see another trap of shaitan. So don't ever commit a sin based on the mercy of Allah. No way. If you've committed it, human nature, it's a different thing. But if you have fallen and you have ended up in the trap of shaitan in any one of the ways we've mentioned this evening, like for example, you committed it hoping that no, Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Today is the day you can turn back and say, oh Allah, the way I committed this sin was wrong. I forgive, I seek forgiveness from you and I won't do it. Allah says, I will still forgive you. Why is it so wrong to seek the forgiveness of Allah? Meaning, why is it so wrong to commit a sin in the hope that Allah will forgive you, thinking about it before you've committed the sin? Why is that so wrong? It is wrong because you are misunderstanding the balance between khawf and raja. What is khawf and what is raja? We are taught as Muslims to have hope in the mercy of Allah, but we're also taught to fear the punishment of Allah and to strike the correct balance between the two. Strike a balance. Allah's punishment is true, it is severe. We cannot tolerate a little flame on a baby finger that's coming from a little candle that we might have lit, and you think you're going to tolerate the flames of Jahannam. Subhanallah. I'm standing here in front of you. The weather outside is absolutely superb, but because we're in a marquee and there are a few thousand people, perhaps, I don't know the exact number, but I'm sweating and it's hot and so are you. And the reason why I'm not wiping my face with these tissues is I want to share with you these drops of perspiration. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I tell you what. We should be talking about the real heat. What's the real heat? Don't ever forget that as much as we have a Lord who is absolutely merciful, we have a Lord who is just. And you cannot run away from him. No chance. That's why the dua says, La malja'a wa la manja'a minka illa ilayk. There's no ways that we're going to be saved in any way, shape or form except from you. Meaning except with you. You, O Allah, are the one who's going to save us, protect us, deliver us, and so on. That protection is only from Allah. You run away from Allah, back to Allah. My brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for giving us an opportunity to talk about these things. Because the balance is something that a mu'min needs, to strike this beautiful balance where we seek the forgiveness of Allah every day, Not forgetting that we are human. So when you have faltered and you are seeking the forgiveness of Allah, go easy on yourself. Let me explain to you when you should be hard on yourself and when you go easy. You should be hard on yourself when you've committed a sin. Be hard on yourself to turn back to Allah. Be hard. I have to turn. When you regret, be hard on yourself. Regret. I regret it deeply. The minute you say, oh Allah, forgive me, thereafter, when you're sincere, go easy on yourself. Thank Allah, He granted me the ability. He granted me the ability to seek forgiveness. Because that ability doesn't come to everyone and anyone. I want to end off by telling you that ultimately, there are so many people who have died without seeking the forgiveness of Allah. There are so many people who have died, they haven't even said the Shahada. There are people who've died and they didn't imagine they were going to die the time they died. Some people, they are terminally ill, they are old and so on. They're expecting perhaps we're going to go. But there are so many who just go suddenly. How old was this guy? 28. How old? 36. How old? 40. How old? 15. How do you prepare for the meeting with Allah? There are so many ways, so many things. One of the most powerful ways is to just constantly seek the forgiveness of Allah. Oh Allah, forgive me. I'm human. Oh Allah, forgive us all. We are human. We have committed so many sins and we continue to commit them. Oh Allah, we don't commit these sins out of defiance, but rather out of human nature. Strengthen us. Grant us the ability to quit these sins for your sake, oh Allah. Help us to taste the sweetness of obedience. Oh Allah, help us to taste the sweetness of obedience, for wallahi, if Allah gives you the ability to taste the sweetness of iman and the sweetness of obedience, you will never ever go back to disobedience. May Allah Almighty forgive me, forgive you, forgive all of us, strengthen us all, grant us goodness, and may Allah Almighty deliver us from all evil. And may Allah Almighty gather us in Jannatul Firdaus. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.